Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, listeners, and welcome to another edition of 2 Days with Murph. Today on the show, we welcome super talented singer-songwriter Mackenzie Carey. We'll talk with Mackenzie about her career, music, and anything she's working on that she can talk about. This should be fun. And as usual, I've got my buddy Craig with me. Hey, Craig, how are you, bud?
Pretty good, Cody. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. What have you been up to?
Nothing much. This has been a quiet week for me. I was at Ohio last weekend to see Jess Callie Adams and Aaron Enderlin. They were both sensational.
Oh, nice. And speaking of Jess Callie Adams, she'll be my guest co-host for Indie Country Radio tomorrow.
I know. She told me about that this past weekend, that tomorrow should be a great countdown.
Yes, it should. And with that being said, what do you say we welcome today's guest, Mackenzie Carey, to the show?
Sure.
All right. And let's welcome the incredibly talented Miss Mackenzie Carey. Hey, Mackenzie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for doing this today.
Of course. I'm so happy to be a part of it.
Absolutely. We always like to start out pretty much every interview the same way. Just kind of introduce yourself and tell the listeners how you got into music in the first place.
Well, I am a 20-year-old singer-songwriter from Florida. And I got into music because my dad plays guitar. So I grew up watching my dad play songs from the Eagles and Fleetwood Mac and stuff. And I always wanted to be able to play guitar too. And when I was like 12, Taylor Swift was like at her height. And I loved Taylor Swift. And she was really like the only girl that was like really performing in country music, like playing her guitar at shows and stuff, and I just wanted to be like Taylor Swift, so I picked up a guitar, I learned some chords, and I really just did it so I could accompany myself singing, and I started entering some like talent contests and open mics and stuff like that, and I've just been continuing to do it every single year, and I've grown on it, and I play shows almost between 3 and 5 times a week now, and I've been going to Nashville, and I've actually been getting a lot. I've played some shows in Savannah, Georgia, which I'm heading back up to Savannah in September, and then I have a show in Washington, D.C., so it's just kind of taken off over time.
Oh, nice. Now I noticed you said you go up to Nashville sometimes. I live about 3 hours west of Nashville, and I tend to go pretty much every chance I possibly get. Nashville is like my favorite city in this world. As a matter of fact, I'll be there again in like 3 weeks for my birthday. And then again, I'll be there in October because I'm co-hosting a independent award show up there October 15th.
That's awesome.
But Nashville is great, isn't it? I mean, not just the music aspect of Nashville, but the town itself is just great, isn't it?
Yes, it's full of history. I love it.
Yeah.
Mackenzie, I wanted to ask you, what... How did you – do you remember the whole process, not just what we saw on television with the audition process of American Idol? How did you get the idea in your head that, I want to try audition for American Idol? Or how did the whole process start?
Well, I used to be a part of this organization called Tunes for Tots, and there was a lot of other musicians that are just up and coming in country music and stuff. They were also in Tunes for Tots, like Diamond Dixie and Bailey Callahan and a bunch of other people. We all like grew up in this like organization, and basically the organization would like let us perform at these like big venues, and we would raise money for like the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And I remember that one year they had asked like any of us if we wanted to like audition for American Idol, and that we would get in like straight with the producers and stuff like that. And it was like the last season of American Idol, and I actually didn't do it, and I was like, oh, well, I mean, I guess it's not meant to be, because it's like over and done with, and I didn't take my shot. And so like 2 years later, I think it was like 2 years later, American Idol was coming back on ABC Network, and it was like a huge thing. It was all over social media. So my mom signed me up for it. I didn't even really know about it. I was like, okay. So she signed me up for it. And I was like, well, I guess that this is like a sign, because I always wanted to audition for American Idol, and it's coming back to television, which, when does a show ever go away and then come back to television? Like, rarely ever does it get picked up by a different network and put back on the air. So I was like, okay, this is like a sign. This is my chance. So I looked up, I guess, online or something. I guess you can go to like AmericanIdol.com/auditions. You sign up for whatever city that you want to audition in. I chose Orlando, Florida, because I'm from Central Florida. And which is, it's about an hour, maybe an hour and a half, depending on traffic, away from where I live. So I woke up at like 2 o'clock in the morning. I drove to auditions, and I got there at 4 a.m. And it was just outside. It was just outside, like of the, there's this thing called Disney Springs. It's like a downtown Disney type area. It's like not the park. It's just like shopping centers and stuff like that. And the line was already so long, and it was 4 a.m., and auditions didn't start till like 8 a.m. or something like that. So I stood in line for 10 hours in the August Florida heat, and I got a massive sunburn. I got like blisters on my shoulders, like seriously like third degree burns or something. And eventually I got to a table, and you arrived with like a packet that you printed out in advance, and you filled out your story sheet, like, who are you, where are you from, what is your story? And I had mine like in a pretty little folder. And so we submitted like our forms and stuff that we had to submit. And we went up to a single person wearing an American Idol shirt at a table, and you were in groups of four, and one at a time you would sing. And then you would step back, and then they picked one person from each group. And we didn't know that at first. We didn't know how many people were going to get picked from each group, but it was only one person from each group. So he basically was like, 1, 2, 3, 4. I was 4. He was like, 4, step forward. The rest of you, sorry, you're not what we're looking for this season. And they moved on, went home. And then to me, he was like, hey, like, I see something in you. You just need to kind of calm down. I was super nervous. He was like, just relax. Like, you're really special. He signed off my sheet, and he sent me to the next round. And so Orlando was the first stop for the American Idol auditions, because Orlando is where Disney is. Disney is ABC. ABC is American Idol. So the producers were already there. They were sitting under another tent. And once I made it through that first guy, I went straight to the producers, but it took a very long time, like a couple hours, to get through and make it all the way to the producers. And they had not sent anyone through in a long time. Like, in like 10 rows, nobody had made it through. So I get up there, and we all sing like one at a time. And I was number 2. So it was like 1, I was 2, 3, and 4. And I sang. They asked me to sing a second song this time. So the first time I sang Daddy's Money by Brooke Eden. And then the second time I sang Jolene by Dolly Parton. And and they took my folder. They read my story. I didn't have much of a story. Nothing sad or special has really happened in my life. But when I was in preschool, when we graduated, I graduated like 2 days after Kelly Clarkson won season 1, and we had to say what we wanted to be when we grew up. And everyone was like, oh, I want to be a bug. I want to be a firefighter. And I was like, I want to be the next American Idol. Call me. And so the producers loved that story. I guess I was singing okay, even though I was like literally having a heat stroke. And they were like, we're going to send you through to the next round. I was like, no way. okay, oh my gosh. So after that, they don't really tell you too much of, like, what is going on. So I went and sat with a bunch of other people that also made it through. There was about 15 or 20 of us. And that was, like, 15 or 20 people that made it just from the state of Florida. And I think there was 4,300 people who auditioned in Florida. And there was only one stop in Florida. But this season, there's going to be two stops, one in Orlando, one in Miami. And after that, they basically start interviewing you. They ask you, like, where you came from, what is your story, getting everything, like, on tape, getting it written down. And they were like, has anyone told you what the next round is? And you're like, no, I have no clue what is going on. And they said, okay, well, we're going to invite you to come see the judges. So after auditioning for two people, one person and then producers, then you get invited to come see the judges. So I chose to go to Savannah, Georgia, because it's obviously not that far and you had to pay and get yourself there. And so after that, you go to the judges, I auditioned for the judges, then I got a golden ticket to Hollywood, and then I went to Hollywood.
Oh, that is such a standout superstar.
Yeah.
No matter what happens with your career, Mackenzie, I don't think you'll ever forget that process for the rest of your life.
Yeah, no. It was definitely not forgettable.
I noticed in that story that you mentioned somebody that we've had on the show previously, Bailey Callahan.
That girl is
such a sweetheart.
She's so sweet. I've actually just started to become friends with her. We didn't know each other too much when we were growing up because we live pretty far from each other. But if we've connected on social media. I know that she's recently moving to Nashville. She's still in Florida right now, but she had an apartment in Nashville. So I know we've already, like, talked about, like, going up there and hanging out and staying with her and stuff like that. So we're getting close.
That's super. I saw her at TMA Fest. I saw her the Thursday. She performed at the Tin Roof Demo Brawn, and that was the first time that I got to see her perform live. She's fantastic, too. I'd love to see you do a singer-songwriter round sometime in Nashville together.
Yes, I definitely will have to get with her about doing that somehow. We performed together. I went on right before she did at the Florida Music Festival in Orlando, Florida. That was the first time I got to see her perform live, first time she got to see me perform live. So before she went on, we were, like, chit-chatting it up, and I was like, you're amazing. She was like, you're amazing. And we were, like, best friends instantly.
Oh, you are both all amazing.
That's one of the things I love about social media. I mean, social media can put you in contact with people that you'd never even meet face to face otherwise. And it's a great resource, you know what I mean?
It really is, especially for musicians. We have a tool that other musicians in the past haven't gotten to have. We get to interact with our fans on a daily basis and talk to them and get to know each other on a more personal level than they've been able to do in the past.
So I think you've already answered that question, but while we're on the topic of social media, how has that affected your career thus far? I think you already answered the question, but
social media definitely helps you, but I feel also that social media can kind of be one of the hardest parts of doing what we do, is trying to get people to come and look at your brand and look at your social media and stuff. I always say at my shows, I'm like, hey, just so everyone knows, I'm on all social media. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. But it can also be the hardest part trying to get people to actually go to your social media, go and like your stuff. I see a lot of my other friends have so many followers. I really don't have that many followers. And so I think that's, like, actually one of the things that we struggle with the most, especially because Instagram has, like, been changing their algorithm and stuff like that. Now your posts get hidden unless you have lots of people commenting on your stuff. But musicians have actually really been sticking together on this new algorithm and stuff. We have groups, and we'll all make sure that we all comment on each other's posts and like each other's posts. That way our posts will get boosts and more people will see it. And I think that's really cool that how musicians are all sticking together and helping each other with that.
You know, and I'm in a couple of Instagram groups myself with several singer friends of mine, and we're always in there liking and commenting on each other's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a little weird, but it's cool how a tight you can become with people on social media.
So
I wanted to ask you too, since your career seems like it's taking off pretty quick, when everything's said and done with your career, 30, 40 years down the road, or whenever that is, what impact would you like to have on the music industry?
I would definitely say that country music specifically needs more women, because right now, I know that personally, when I go to like check out new songs to add to my set list and stuff, I go to Billboard, the top 100, and I check it out, and it's all guys. There's like never any girls on there. Kelsea Ballerini doesn't even chart as much as she should be. The only one who's really charting is Maren Morris, and then Carrie Underwood and Miranda Lambert have been going back and forth for like Female Artist of the Year for the last like 12 years. So personally, mm-hmm. by the time I'm done with my career, I really want to bring more girl power to country music and make an impact in that stance, because there's like no females charting or making records, or you know what I mean, like getting those huge yeah. milestones that other male country artists are getting. I saw a tweet from Kacey Musgraves the other day where somebody tweeted and said, "Why don't I ever hear Kacey Musgraves on the radio?" And Kacey quoted it and said, "Because I'm not a man." And that
what?
Was really so cool. I really want
that's
to see more female artists chart and,
you know, and
become legends.
Right. You know, and speaking for this radio show, we probably play 90% females, and we interview probably at least that many females, 90% or 95% females. We are a big supporter of the ladies of the industry.
That is awesome.
Yes, country. Listen, I just need to know what begins.
You know, and
I'm sorry. I've
said this before, and I'll say it again. And I'll keep saying it until I'm blue in the face. And I will do everything in my power to make sure that the women of country music are heard. You know.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And I know that Elena Smith, who is on Nash Nights Live, is working on a whole all-women radio show or something. And Bobby Bones is working on an all-women show, too, or segment, which is super
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Yes, that is great. And also, there's a whole tour on women next year. Yeah, with Carrie Underwood,
mm-hmm.
Maddie and Tan, Runaway June. That is spectacular.
Yes.
I think that tour
is
going to be
awesome.
So well.
I saw that.
And also,
I'm super excited for them.
And I also would love to see you play Song Suffragette every month, which they have every Monday night in Nashville.
Yes, I definitely want to get in on that. I've seen tons of my friends. I know Maggie Baugh and Julia Cole just played one the other day. And I've seen Emily Brooke get in on that, too. I would love to do something like that. I'm going to be back in Nashville in December. Because December 10th, I'm actually playing a songwriters round at the Commodore Grill, which is like at the Holiday Inn near Vanderbilt.
I've been there about a bunch of times already. And
yeah.
When is your singer-songwriter round, Mackenzie? Do you remember the day?
I'm going to be there on December 10th at 9 p.m.
Oh, Cody, you may want to stay in Nashville.
Possibly. I wanted to ask, too, kind of getting a little deeper and a little bit, I don't want to say more personal, but as a creative person, what inspires or motivates you?
Music and songwriting-wise?
Just whether that's music, songwriting, just life in general. I mean, inspires you as a person?
Well, like I said, when I was, like, 12, Taylor Swift was, like, huge, and I wanted to be just like Taylor Swift. She was, like, the only girl that was up there playing her guitar and, like, jamming and flipping her hair. And I love really good performers, and Taylor Swift has always been a great performer. I also think that Maren Morris is a great performer. I love watching her, and I've been really inspired by Kacey Musgraves since she's been coming out with her music. I've been a fan since the first album and Same Trailer, Different Park and Merry-Go-Round and stuff. So personally, performance-wise, I'm super inspired by Maren Morris. Songwriting-wise, I'm super inspired by Kacey Musgraves. I get lots of good vibes from, like, Miranda Lambert. I love her whole, like, junk gypsy type vibe that she's got going on. I take it in a lot from all the female performers. I'm definitely very inspired by girl power. So everything I do, I like to put some girl power into it. Personally, when songwriting, I actually really struggle with songwriting when it comes to, like, writing, like, happy songs. So I feel like I get so caught up in life that I don't think to, like, sit down and write a song about how I'm feeling. It's only when I'm, like, sad and I'm, like, sitting there, I'm like, oh, I really want to play guitar right now, really want to, like, put my emotions into it. So it's hard for me to, like, get inspired and write music for that, which that's when, like, co-writing and stuff comes in. And you're like, oh, yeah, I remember a time that I felt like this. But I only get inspired to really, like, write some, like, good music when I'm, like, actually feeling, like, super down. But I know there's a lot of artists that are the same way.
Awesome. Another question I had for you is, and I think I think I already know the answer to this, but professionally speaking, what's the best thing that's ever happened to you?
The best thing that's ever happened to me? It sounds cliche, but American Idol, even though I really didn't get shown too much on the show, it really helped my career. It really, like, helped it kind of be a catalyst to everything that's been happening. Maybe not in Nashville, maybe not, like, in the whole country, but definitely, like, in my town, in my state and stuff. After American Idol, like, even in my hometown, I can't go anywhere without someone being like, oh, you're that girl that was, like, on American Idol. Oh, I saw you in the newspaper. Oh, I saw you on the news. Oh, I saw you or heard you on the radio. And so that was really fun. But that helped me get a bunch of other stuff. Like, I got to open up for Easton Corbin at SeaWorld, and I got to open up for Brantley Gilbert at Runaway Country, and I got to play the main stage. And all of those things were super amazing things that happened to me, but none of that probably would have happened without being on American Idol, because they were the first to really, like, take a chance on me. I had never auditioned for anything before, so American Idol was my first no, but it was also my first yes.
I don't think that's far. You will be opening for many more superstars down the road. And hopefully you will be the headliner, and you will be the headliner down the road too.
I agree.
Thank you.
Now, besides American Idol, has there ever been a moment in your career, whether it's stage or wherever, where you're just like, is this actually happening to me right now? Is this actually my life?
I definitely felt that way when I was performing at Runaway Country. It's a huge country music festival in Florida, held in Kissimmee, and the stage is just, like, humongous, like incredible, with catwalks and everything. And it was my first show where I got to play with a full band, and there was people in the pit that had bought pit tickets like just for me, which I thought was super cool. So, and I had been to that same festival as like a spectator and a fan of country music. So getting to go from being a fan of this festival to performing on the main stage, opening up for Brantley Gilbert, was definitely like, wow.
That is cool. You know, and the reason I asked that is because, well, I've been doing this radio thing 6 years, like I told you off air, and 4 years in the country music industry, and country music is really my passion, and
mm-hmm.
I also have a passion for seeing and helping people succeed, and I cannot tell you how many times on this radio show I've just been like, wow, this is really cool what's happening right now. Like I'll see somebody have a video premiere or a brand new song come out, somebody that I support, regardless or not, whether they've been on the show, and I'll be like, it takes every fiber of my being not to cry like a baby.
Oh, uh-huh.
When I see something like that.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like if this radio show can be a stepping stone for an artist to that next thing, that next gig or the next interview or whatever it is, I feel like I've more than done my job as a host.
Absolutely, I can't agree more.
Did you have any more questions for Craig?
I just have one question, Mackenzie.
Okay.
Is there anything that you haven't said on the interview that you would like to bring up before we conclude?
I think we pretty much talked on everything. Like I said, I play shows in my hometown between 3 and 5 times a week, and we've gotten to do some amazing stuff thanks to American Idol. And I'll be back up in Nashville in December. Right now we only have that one writer's round booked, but they're definitely, once we get closer, I'll start booking some other like open mics and writer's rounds that week also. But everyone can find me on social media. Everything is at Mackenzie Carey Music. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, the whole 9 yards.
That's awesome. I did have one last question for you. I know
okay.
You mentioned the Riders Around in Nashville in December, but what else is coming up for you show wise?
I play in my hometown. I play a lot of restaurants and stuff like that. Glee, I play at several different restaurants, usually like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Just around my hometown and stuff like that. We've kind of like slowed down right now because we're writing and going up to Nashville and doing some stuff like that. But I'm actually in a contest right now that I've posted all over my social media to get to perform at this Songwriters Festival. I think it's like in Fort Pierce, Florida, but I have to win this contest in order to get to perform at it. So we're trying to draw everyone in because that would be like a really cool and big thing for me.
Awesome. And you know I'll help you out any way I can. You know that.
Okay.
So thank you so much for doing this. This has been so much fun.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It's been a great time.
Absolutely. So I think we're gonna gonna let you go and let you get back to your evening. But you've got a open invitation to the show anytime.
Oh, thank you guys so much. I can't wait to be back.
Thank you. Thank you so much, friends and uncle. Can't wait to see you in person perform.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you later, McKenzie, okay?
All right, you guys have a good one.
You too.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. That was a fun show.
Yes, she is really sweetheart.
She is. I've been teasing this online for days, and I can't talk about it just yet, but something happens tomorrow that I cannot wait for.
What? What?
And I never thought that this would ever happen again. See, you know, I covered soap operas for 2 years before I got into music. And a buddy of mine in the media would always write articles on his website about me and the show. And the soap guests we'd have on. Well, he's doing that again, but this time for our 6 year anniversary on Monday. He's writing an article about that for me, and I cannot wait till it comes out. He's always been good to the show, and he's always written some great stuff for us. So I can't wait till it comes out and I can officially show everybody.
Oh.
So besides Monday's show, I think we have a Still Ivory next Tuesday, don't we, buddy?
Ivory on the next Tuesday, and then they Still Ivory just came out. That's actually be released tomorrow. So, speaking about the new release should be fantastic. And then next Wednesday we have Miss Madeline Smith, who's been very popular in New Jersey. She's an independent artist, and actually a week on the 29th she will be opening up here in New Jersey for none other than Lindsay L. So we can get to talk to her and ask her how she feels about that.
Oh, sweet. That's going to be awesome. So I think I'm going to let you go and kind of wrap things up here, okay, buddy?
All right. Thanks, Cody. Have a good weekend. I'll see you Monday.
All right. I'll talk to you Monday.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye. Well, hope you guys enjoyed our interview with the lovely Miss McKenzie Carey. Like Craig said, Monday at 4:30 Central for 1 hour from 4:30 to 5:30 Central. That's 5:30 to 6:30 Eastern. Is the show's 6 year anniversary. And I'm just not even believing it's been 6 years at this point. And then Tuesday at I think 4:30 Central have a Still Ivory with me. So I think with that, I think I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Murph. Thank you and goodbye.